नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण
कृष्ण
प्रेष्ठाय
कृष्ण
भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो last week we completed the second chapter. We'll do a quick recap of what we have seen last week. Yesterday we discussed last week we discussed the second shower of nectar, which is shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and within bhajana kriya we discussed anishtita bhajana kriya. It is mentioned that there are two types of bhakti, Vaidhi and Raganuga, and both type of bhakti give rise to Kleshagni and Shubhada. And Kleshagni means destruction of Kleshas, which has three causes: Avidya, Bijam and Papam. And also that Avidya and Bijam are further divided into five: avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha and abhinivesh. And avidya is the past impressions, asmita is
avidya is the false
identification due to past impressions, and asmita is actually the false identification with this current body due to restricted access given for only those impressions
which are conducive to
yeah with that particular body. And then there is raga and dvesha, which are born out of past impressions, and then it leads to raga abhinivesh and dvesha abhinivesh. So this creates a very foolproof curtain which shields one from seeing Krishna, because the living entity only wants to be, he has only chosen to be Krishna Bahirmukh. So if he has to be Krishna Bahirmukh, then there has to be a system to facilitate it, and that is facilitated by this curtain of Mahamaya. And then there is Shubhada. Shubhada means the four things: Sadgunadi Pradatvam, Sukha Pradatvam, Jagat Prenanam and Sarva Jagatam Anurakta. Being very, one becomes very much attractive to all living entities. He becomes compassionately disposed towards all living entities. He develops all the other good qualities also, and also he develops bliss by practice of bhakti. And both Vaidhi and Raganuga are potent enough to bestow these things. Then we discussed that these Kleshagni and Shubhada are generally parallelly developing, but you cannot say that exactly they develop at the same speed. Just like in a newly forming creeper, the two fresh leaves may unfold at the same speed, but generally at the same speed, but if you see it microscopically, there will be one leaf which is probably unfurling little bit more faster than the other leaf. So similarly, in some people, Kleshagni may manifest faster than Shubhada, in others Shubhada may manifest faster than Kleshagni, like this. And then we discussed how bhakti develops. We discussed that bhakti develops. We say that when do you say that bhakti has started in a particular person? That is when the person develops Shraddha, and that Shraddha is developed due to Agyata Sukriti, and Agyata Sukriti is facilitated by the goodwill of devotees. Devotees who are compassionately disposed, they desire that this person should get some devotional service. So they facilitate that person, they try to provide a situation for that person where he can appreciate something connected to bhakti, by which he starts gaining sukriti, and by that sukriti when it accumulates, it gives rise to Shraddha. And that Shraddha one can get in a Swabhaviki way or in a Balotpadita way. So Swabhaviki way may you sometimes, you know, in the Western countries, like the Harinam Sankirtan party was going on, someone, there are examples of in London, one couple, they were selling something and along with their one child. So they were so attracted to the Harinam Sankirtan, first time they are hearing. So husband, wife and child, they just followed the Harinam party and went to the temple and just joined the temple. So this is Swabhaviki. And then Balotpadita is somewhere where there is an active preaching that is involved after developing some preliminary goodwill. You have developed sufficient goodwill that the person will hear from you. Then you utilize that opportunity to speak about Krishna consciousness. And because that person feels a little obliged that, you know, I have taken a lot
I
of...
I have received this
so much.
Body from this samstha. So let me attend these programs. Or maybe because I have got this body, I keep getting calls from this samstha that please attend evening program. So I go attend evening program. There they are telling very interesting things.
Exactly. That is Balotpadita. And both are bona fide. So however and whatever way the faith develops, one of the prime symptoms of the development of faith is that he feels that he needs some support from his guru and other Vaishnavas to progress, so that he actively seeks Sadhu Sangha. So the Sadhu Sangha that manifests before he takes up to bhakti, before that Shraddha dawns, that is called as Agyata Sadhu Sangha. Because only the Sadhu knows, the Sadhu is seeking the soul. Whereas after Shraddha, the soul is seeking Sadhu voluntarily. Okay. So, and he knows why he is seeking. Because he is conscious that I want to progress in bhakti. So that understanding is very clear in him. So this is called as Gyata Sadhu Sangha. You know, he knows what he is aspiring for.
So while he was receiving all that,
the wadi farmers, they may be eagerly looking forward for your next visit so that you could, not so that you could give
so
him
that
bhakti.
You announce a new support item, some new intervention for the welfare.
That's why he is waiting for you. But because you happen to be a devotee, he gets some sukriti. But when that sukriti sort of fructifies, or the cumulative effect of that sukriti sort of matures into Shraddha, then at that point he will wait for you for his spiritual progress. Understand? So he will again, he is doing the same thing, but now he is waiting for you because he wants Sadhu Sangha. And he may also simultaneously aspire for that new project that you may present. Are you also there?
Gora mein apna grand Krishna Prabhu to he mere wo mere ko kya bole ki koi to ek family hai jisme kuch ladies hamare basically kuch ladies unke
program
mein kaju factory mein kaam karte the kaju factory mein input material na hone ke kaaran factory band ho gayi kaam nahi hai to now they were seeking some work so that they can earn money because unka ghar mein utna zyada income nahi hai resources se so four of these ladies from the kaju factory are attending his program and they said ki bhai kuch kaam hai to bata dijiye and then he asked me ki kuch hai kya
mujhe bhi pucha
so maine unko bola fir ye hamara jo rural development ka kaam chal raha hai usme hai to अगर उसमें होगा तो लेट देम इंक्वायर माता जी जो कि वुमेन एम्पावरमेंट देखती है उनका नंबर दे दिया तो जैसे ही उनको नंबर दिया तो वो जो आदमी है हस्बैंड ही वाज लाइक प्लेजेंटली सरप्राइज्ड कि अरे इतने जल्दी ये लोग एक्शन भी लेते हैं. एंड ही सेड कि प्रभु जी ये ऐसे चलते चलते मैं प्रभु जी ने बताया मुझे ही सेइंग कि प्रभु जी बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद आपकी तरफ से आपने इतना किया. मैं तो सब लोगों को आसपास जो है उन लोगों को बोलता हूँ अरे प्रोग्राम में आया करो. यू नो आई एनकरेज अदर्स आल्सो टू कम टू द प्रोग्राम दिस पीपल सो दैट काइंड ऑफ इफेक्ट इट हैज हेल्पिंग पीपल.
सो देन ही लुक्स आउट फॉर affectionate like-minded devote sajatiya shes dekhte sadhu sangha suto vare. Then as soon as he gets sadhu sangha, then he realizes that I should perform bhajana kriya. So and bhajana kriya is of two types, steady and unsteady. And unsteady bhajana kriya is of six types, generally in stages, which are utsahamayi, ghanatarala, వ్యూఢ వికల్ప, విషయ సంగర, నియమాక్షమ అండ్ తరంగరంగిణి. సో ఉత్సాహమయ మీన్స్ ఫాల్స్ కాన్ఫిడెన్స్ వేర్ ద పర్సన్ థింగ్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఐ హావ్ అచీవ్డ్ ప్రేమ, నాట్ ప్రేమ బట్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఫీల్స్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ క్వైట్ అడ్వాన్స్డ్. బట్ దెన్ రియాలిటీ డాన్స్, హీ రియలైజెస్ దట్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఫ్యూ డేస్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు కంటిన్యూ అట్ ద సేమ్ పేస్. ఘన తరళ హీ స్టార్ట్స్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ అప్ అండ్ డౌన్ ఫేసెస్. దెన్ హీ రియలైజెస్ దట్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఐ నీడ్ టు స్టడీ మై ప్రాక్టీస్. దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ స్పొరాడిక్ అన్స్టడీ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఫేవరబుల్. సో హీ రియలైజెస్ దట్ ఐ నీడ్
సమ్ స్టడీనెస్
అండ్ హీ డిసైడ్స్ అండ్ హీ ఫిగర్స్ అవుట్ దట్ యాక్చువల్లీ the external environment is not very conducive for my study practice. So he debates, you know, what should change, which ashram should I situate myself in, you know, should I go for a software job, or should I, as other people feel, should I take a teaching job, or should I ultimately take no job and join the brahmachari ashram. Like that extensive deliberations to settle down. That is Vyodha Vikalpa. And when slowly, when he makes certain decisions and starts settling down, he actually realizes that still he is having trouble performing study practice. And he realizes that actually it is my senses which are uncontrolled, which is actually creating this problem. So that stage is called as Vishaya Sangara, where he starts actively trying to control his senses by favorably engaging them. Then slowly he starts becoming little successful, and once he gains fair amount of success, then he realizes that now I should enough fighting with my senses, now let me start positively thinking about enhancing my devotional service. So he starts taking the fifth. So he starts taking positive vows. But sometimes he is able to fulfill and sometimes he is not able to fulfill. It is called as niyama akshama. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Akshama.
And then after some time he gains fairly good success there also, where he is able to uphold the vows that he has taken. And then as a result of which his practice has become fairly steady and increasing. And when people start observing him, they start praising him. Puja, lab, pratishtha, facilities, everything starts coming. And when he starts getting attached to that, and he starts riding the waves of puja, lab, pratishtha. So that is called as taranga rangini, enjoying the waves of puja, lab, pratishtha. So, but that is the last trap. If he somehow escapes that trap, then what is awaiting him is?
He is out of the traffic of the city and is
on the highway.
On. Yeah.
And what, he reaches which stage?
He reaches Anarthanirthi.
Nishta,
okay.
He ends Anarthanirthi, ends there. So now, these six stages, the gradual journey of this person through these six stages is called as Anishtita Bhajan, which is characterized by gradual Anartha Nivritti. Okay, and this Anartha Nivritti is the subject matter of the next chapter, third chapter, which we are going to start now. Okay. So now we will start the third chapter, which is the longest chapter of Madhurya Kadambini, which is called as Anartha Nivritti. This chapter discusses Anartha Nivritti, the cessation of unwanted desires. Anartha means unwanted desires in the heart, and Nivritti means to cease. Anartha means unwanted desires. And there could be four causes of manifestation of unwanted desires. Dushkrutotta anarthas, some anarthas may come from past sinful activities. Sukrutotta anarthas, some anarthas may come from past pious deeds also. Aparadotta anarthas, anarthas coming from offenses. And Bhaktiotta anarthas come in the form of tarangarangini, facilities, opportunities for puja, labh, pratishtha, like that. So, anarthas arising due to edo dushkrutotta and sukrutotta anarthas hai, they are in the form of you perform a particular pious activity or a sinful activity aur uska impression reh jata hai. And sometimes those pious impressions may also not be favorable for practicing bhakti. Like for example, I gave the example of my mother. You remember? Once during one South India Yatra, early days, 2010 South India Yatra, my mother was there. It was in Srirangam. My mother's ancestral home is there in Srirangam. So, mera grandmother ka ghar mein. So, she was there. And Nityanand Prabhu's mother came. Nityanand Prabhu. So Nityanand Prabhu's mother, she came running and she said, "Oh, I have Maharaj's Maha. I have Maharaj's Maha." And my mother said, "What is Maharaj's Maha?" She said, "Maharaj Mahaprasad." My mother asked, "What is Maharaj Mahaprasad?" She said, "Maharaj Mahaprasad." "You mean leftovers from his plate?" And she said, yeah, please take. And my mother said, "No thanks, you can eat. I don't want." Because in my so many years, in our house, I have never seen anyone eat anyone else's jutta.
Because that is the culture, pious culture.
I have never seen, even when we were small kids, if some leftover is there, it goes to dustbin. Mother or father never eats. I have never seen my mother eat my father's leftover or jo jutta thoda bhi ho gaya, unka plate se ya jo bhi hai, ya कुछ फरसान वरसान है, एक ही प्लेट से दो लोग निकाल लेके खाते नहीं, उसका अलग प्लेट, इसका अलग प्लेट. दैट इज द पॉलिसी स्टैंडर्ड. इट वॉज लाइक अ बिग शॉक दैट यू आर आस्किंग मी टू ईट समवन एल्सस लेफ्ट ओवर. इवन दो भक्त पाद धूलियार भक्त पाद जल भक्त भुक्त अवशेष तीन महाबल. The foot dust and the foot wash and the remnants of great devotees is the fastest way of progressing in devotional service. But still, due to a life of piety, it is an anartha. Right? So, desires can come in the form of raga and dvesha. Right? Here is a desire in the form of dvesha. No. but dvesha against something which is very favorable for bhakti. And dushkrutata anarthas ka to explain karne ka zarurat hi nahi. So many sinful activities in which we have been engaged, so many unfavorable impressions that we have accumulated because of which we are suffering. So unwanted desires which manifest out of those sinful activities are called as dushkrutata anarthas. Anarthas which arise from offenses refers to those arising from the nama parada and not seva parada. So here Srila Vishnacharya Thakur gives a very interesting explanation of nama parada and seva parada. Generally people tend to think that nama parada means offenses against the holy name and seva parada means offenses performed during seva. But Vishnacharya Thakur says, not really. Seva aparad means inadvertent mistakes committed during one's practice of devotional service. Whereas nama aparad means offenses committed due to some malice in heart.
Okay.
It's a malicious intent. Due to some disrespect.
Even if a devotee has been offended, it is nama aparad.
Because nama parad mein first aparad is Vaishnava parad only, na?
Yeah.
Oh, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name. So he says that seva parad means unintentional. Like for it could be, and he says that the result of seva parad is that the next moment you perform an act of sincere devotion, that seva parad is nipped in the bud. There is no reaction for seva parad. Seva aparad, which is inadvertent mistakes.
Right.
Like for example,
I got that. Yeah.
You got that. Now you are running, or let's say last minute when someone tells that, hey, look, there is no one has come for Mangalarti. I see that you are in a Muttariya. Come do Mangalarti. And it's already just 1 minute left. So you just rush and blow the gong shell, and you are just going to start, and you forgot to do your achaman. Okay. Sometimes it may happen that you may never realize that I forgot to do my achaman. What is the result? No offense taken.
Okay.
Because you have not realized it. And it is absolutely inadvertent. But the moment you realize that you forgot to do your achaman, if you become repentant and beg for forgiveness, at that moment only the nama aparad is, the seva aparad is nipped at the bud. No seva aparad. But if you think, the moment you realize that you forgot to do your achaman, and he said, theek hai na, aparad shodhan mantra hai na, wo kiske liye hai? Aisa bahut baar ho sakta hai, aparad shodhan mantra karne se chala jayega. This kind of attitude immediately escalates that seva aparad into nama aparad. Because this is not inadvertent. Even after knowing, you are taking it very callously.
It's like that aparad shodhan mantra is to be spoken with that repentant heart.
Repentant heart.
But it is, if it is being done ritual.
In a business way. Ho gaya na. Mistake hua, aparad shodhan ho gaya na, ho gaya.
Yeah, and when you said aparad shodhan, to maine gaya. But if you were not conscious of the aparad shodhan mantra,
consciously perform, neglect some activities thinking that aparad shodhan mantra to hai. Anyway, main aparad karunga ya na karunga, aparad shodhan mantra to karna hi hai mujhe.
Yeah.
I might as well do some shortcuts. Then those aparad shodhan mantras are not capable of saving us. Then that seva aparad is escalated into nama aparad.
So anyways, aparad is being committed on a regular basis in some way. Except somebody is like really very, very
careful.
careful. So Aparadh Shodhan Mantra is a mandatory to be sung.
Yeah, it's mandatory to be,
yeah,
to be sung. So we may not even realize what aparadha I have done, but you say that I must definitely have committed some aparadha. Krishna, please forgive me. But someone may intentionally do some shortcuts, thinking that hena, then it becomes a seventh offense. Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhi, mantro baladyasya hi papa buddhi. Like that. To commit a sinful activity on the strength of the holy name, or to commit an offense on the strength of the holy name. So, therefore, the seva aparadha could be extremely grave aparadha also. So, it's not the gravity of the aparadha that that gives the punishment, it's the intent. Like for example, in the 9th canto, we see in the episode of Prishadra. So Prishadra is a king, but he was the his elder brother. By default, he gets the inheritance of the kingdom. So as the younger brother, he decides to assist his elder brother by taking care of cow protection in the kingdom. So he takes care of the main goshala. He protects it. So throughout the night and day, he does not sleep. He is protecting the goshala. So one particular Amavasya night, there is no light, and he hears the sound of a tiger which has caught a cow. So he rushes in that direction, very skillful, and he slashes in the direction of the tiger, and suddenly that there is no more sound of tiger, no more sound of cow. So he feels that maybe the tiger is dead. Next day morning he sees, actually he had slashed the throat of the cow, but along with that he had slashed the ears of the tiger. So the tiger runs away and the cow is dead. Now this is gohatya. And on top of that, when his guru, Agastya or someone, when he comes to know about this, he further curses him to become a Brahma Rakshas or Shudra or something like that. So, but at the end of that life, he achieves perfection and goes back home back to Godhead. Neither does the curse act on him, nor does he get the reaction of a reaction of Gohatya. Because this is a kind of absolutely inadvertent mistake from the hands of a very able person, well-intentioned person, and a very wonderful devotee, and who had dedicated his life for such a noble cause, sacrificing his all his facilities and sleep and everything.
Yeah.
So therefore, he does not, the curse does not act on him.
Certainly he has repented his
for that. He must have definitely repented. If someone who has dedicated his life for such a noble cause.
He must have been shell-shocked the day morning when he went to his goshala and see that the cow
is dead.
He himself would have been devastated, and that's where his whatever aparadha would have got nullified.
Seva aparadha is nullified. And then he gets cursed. I think he would have been least bothered by that curse. He would have been much more repentant that the cow was dead. Krishna took him back. Nothing happened to him. So, that is why it is mentioned, Dhavan Nimilyavanetre Naskalena Patedika. On this path, on this road of bhakti, even if you run with your eyes closed, there is no you cannot skip, you cannot slip, or you cannot fall down. Which means that any inadvertent mistake is not at all punished. If your intention is right, if your mood is right, any unintentional mistake is not taken seriously. However grave it may be. So you may, by mistake, your feet might touch the spiritual master also. such a grave offense, you know, kicking the spiritual master. But if it is inadvertent or is not taken seriously, but if there is a malicious intent, if there is a disrespectful attitude, then it becomes a serious offense. Namaparad. So, this is like in a nutshell what is given here. Now we will read what is given here. Anarthas which arise from offenses refers to those arising from the Nama Aparads and not Seva Aparad. The Acharyas have discerned that Seva Aparads do not usually have effect, being nullified by the chanting of the holy name. By recitation of Stotras, which have the power to cancel the effect of any Seva Aparad, and by constant service. By chanting the holy name, by the Aparada Shodhan mantras, and by constant service, the effect of the Seva Aparad is immediately nullified. Constant engagement in these activities practically nips in the bud the slightest effect of Seva Aparad also. However, one should not be careless and take advantage of being protected from all effect of Seva Aparad by the above measures. So, one should not become careless in performing his services, thinking that Seva Aparad ka to kuch problem nahi hai na, Aparad Shodhan Mantra hai. Then, this Seva Aparad becomes Nama Aparad, an anartha which will obstruct his progress. He is guilty of Nama Aparad, of committing sin on the strength of the holy name. Namno baladyasyahi papa buddhi. The word Nama in the phrase Nama Aparad is being used to represent all the angas of bhakti that destroys sin and aparad, of which holy name is the primary anga. So Nama Aparad means not only offense against the holy name, it is offense against Bhakti Devi. Even according to Dharma Shastra, one should not commit sin knowing that he can be exempted from the effect by prayaschitta. ऐसा नहीं कि प्लान करके देखो ये करूंगा अभी फिर बाद में प्रायश्चित करके उसको नलीफाई कर दूंगा. सो विद दैट इंटेंट इफ ही कमिट्स अ सिन इवन द कर्मकांडीय प्रायश्चित इज इनकेपेबल ऑफ फ्रीइंग हिम.
ओके
देन व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ भक्ति. देन द इफेक्ट ऑफ द सिन विल नॉट बी डिस्ट्रॉयड बट रादर इंक्रीज्ड. On the other hand, let us consider the force of these types of scriptural statements. Nahi angopakrame dvamsho mad dharmasya uddhavanvapi maya vyavasita samyak nirgunatvad anashisha. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. Dashamoyam japa mantrena siddhidaha. Simply by only reciting this 10 syllable mantra, it will give perfection. So, one may ask, by neglecting or not completing some of the angas of bhakti, does it not produce Nama Aparad?
Neglecting or not completing
some of the angas of bhakti, does it not produce Nama Aparad? He says, never. Committing sin on the strength of the holy name refers to the intentional commission of sin, thinking that the power of devotional activities will nullify the bad effects.
So Nama Aparad is always an intentional aparad. Something committed intentionally.
Intentionally? Due to some amount of disrespect or some malicious intent. But sin refers to those actions condemned by the scriptures requiring remedial measures. Unlike the path of karma, where failure to perform the rite perfectly is condemned, on the path of bhakti, the shastra never condemns failure to perform all the angas. Like, for example, there are 64 angas. Of the 64, the most important are the last 5. And the next most important are the first 20, including surrendering to a guru, taking diksha and siksha from a guru, serving him very sincerely and inquiring him about the ways to progress in bhakti, following the footsteps of the acharyas. Like that, the first 10 do's and 10 don'ts are the next most important. They are called the door to bhakti. They are also non-negotiable limbs. Then in between this first 20 and last 5, there are 39 limbs which are sort of negotiable. Negotiable in the sense, if you are put in a situation where you can do only one of the two limbs, then if you choose to skip those 39, one limb from the 39, and choose to perform one of the higher limbs, last 5 or first 20, then there is no problem. Like for example, one of those 39 limbs is to get up when the Lord's procession comes. Another is to offer obeisances when the Lord's procession comes. Another is to follow in the procession. All three are three different limbs out of 64. Once, Ramanujacharya's disciple Dasharathi was boiling milk for Ramanujacharya. Those were the days of no LPG stove. It was only cow dung patties and wood. So he was boiling milk and suddenly the Lord's procession came. Ramanujacharya was there. So he said, Dasharathi, come. The Lord's procession is coming. Neither did Dasharathi come, neither did he stand up, nor did he offer obeisances, nor did he follow the procession. Ramanujacharya did all of that, came back and chastised Dasharathi. Why you didn't come? He said, I was involved in a more important service. I was boiling your milk. So Ramanujacharya was internally pleased, but externally he said, oh, that could have waited. Like, but Dasharathi understood his heart. So here is a situation where only one could be done. If he had left, that milk would have been spoiled. So he did not perform three limbs. To perform one more important limb, Vishrambena Guru Seva. So therefore, on the path of karma, if some of the limbs are not properly performed, or even if there is an mistake, like in the case of Pashta, it was not even a pronunciation mistake, but it was just an intonation mistake, which is much more subtler than pronunciation. So he got not only no result, but he got the opposite result. Instead of getting a person who would kill Indra, he got a person who would be killed by Indra.
It's like just a very, very vague similarity, but it's like having some crude machinery, old age machinery, in case of this karmakanda rituals. Maybe like some old machinery that can't be tweaked and will work only in this way. Whereas the bhakti involves a lot of consciousness in it. So it is more of an intelligent machinery, artificial intelligent. Well, it learns and it also gains inputs. Conscious decision making is required.
Correct. And but in bhakti you see the Chinese cannot pronounce ra. It's not there in the system. So when they chant Hale Krishna, Hale Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hale Hale, Hale Lama, Hale Lama, Lama Lama, Hale Hale. Matlab, all 16 syllables are wrong. All 16. Not even one is pronounced properly. Because Hare, Krishna, Rama, all have ra. And they can't pronounce ra. But it is not considered Namaparad. It is not considered as Namaparad. It is not even considered as Sevaparad in one sense. So, Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kala. That is the power of Bhakti. On this point, there is no fear of an offense which will deprive one of results. ఏవై భగవతా ప్రోక్త ఉపాయా హ్యాత్మలబ్ధయే అంజః పుంసాం అవిదుషాం విద్ధి భాగవతాన్ హితాన్ యానాస్తాయ నరో నరో రాజన్ న ప్రమాద్యేత కర్హిచిత్ ధావన్ నిమీల్యవా నేత్రే నస్కలేన్న పతేదిహ. ఈవన్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ కెన్ వెరీ ఈజీలీ కమ్ టు నో ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఇఫ్ దే అడాప్ట్ దోస్ మీన్స్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ బై ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ హింసెల్ఫ్. ద ప్రాసెస్ రికమెండెడ్ బై ద లార్డ్ ఈస్ టు బి నోన్ యాజ్ భాగవత్ ధర్మ ఆర్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ టు ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. ఓ కింగ్, వన్ హూ అక్సెప్ట్స్ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ టు సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విల్ నెవర్ బ్లండర్ ఆన్ దిస్ పాత్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. ఈవెన్ వైల్ రన్నింగ్ విత్ ఐస్ క్లోజ్డ్ హీ విల్ నెవర్ ట్రిప్ ఆర్ ఫాల్. సో హీ సేస్ హీఈస్ నాట్ మెన్షనింగ్ దట్ ద పర్సన్ ఇస్ బ్లైండ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ మెన్షనింగ్ దట్ హీఈస్ రన్నింగ్ విత్ హిస్ ఐస్ క్లోజ్డ్, విచ్ మీన్స్ ఈస్ హీ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై సోమ్నాంబులిజం, స్లీప్ వాకింగ్? నో. ఆర్ ఈస్ హీ స్లీపింగ్? నో. దెన్ హౌ కెన్ హీ రన్? ఇట్ మీన్స్ హీ హాస్ ఇంటెన్షనలీ క్లోజ్డ్ హిస్ ఐస్. వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇస్ ఇఫ్ హీ సీస్ that there are two things that I need to do, two limbs are involved, but practically he can only perform one of the limbs, so the other limb he does not perform only, so it is as if he has closed his eyes but no reaction. Here the word nimilya, closing the eyes, means the person has eyes, he is not blind but he has closed them. The word dhavan means proceeding rapidly, placing the feet in an overstepping unconventional manner. These are the direct meanings. This verse refers to a person who takes shelter of devotional service and is practicing the primary angas. Primary, I told you, no? Last 5, first 20. The meaning is that such a person suffers no loss of results, nor is he deprived of the goal, even if knowing all the angas of bhakti, he neglects to perform some of the secondary angas as if ignorant. Closing the eyes does not mean ignorance of scripture, for that contradicts the direct meaning. One should carefully consider the meaning of closing the eyes and running, which means intentionally neglecting some of the angas of bhakti and eagerly pursuing the goal. Which means here Dasharathi was eagerly pursuing the goal and he knew that he had to offer obeisances, get up, follow the procession. Not that he did not know, but he did not follow. This and any actions resulting from the mode of progress does not allow the devotee to commit the 32 seva aparadhas. This verse describes a person who has sincerely taken shelter of the process of bhakti as outlined by the Lord himself. In that case, there is no question of intentional seva aparadha, because he is a very sincere person. The 32 seva aparadhas, beginning with entering the temple on a palanquin or while wearing shoes, etc., should never be intentionally committed. Like for example, a king may be very eager to take darshan and he understood that it is time for the darshan to close. He has very few minutes left. So he may, his palanquin bearers may be going very fast and unintentionally they might have entered the temple all in the palanquin only. Is considered seva aparadha. He is not supposed to do. But the moment he realizes that was out of his eagerness to take darshan for the Lord.
This is the kind of example given.
For in the scriptures, a person who intentionally commits a seva aparadha is condemned as a two-legged animal. Harerapi aparadhan yakkuryad vipada pamshanah. Okay. So now he is going to start describing the various kinds of nama aparadha.
To start with, there was this definition given of aparadha as a desire, not unwanted desire. Okay. So in case of seva aparadha, it is more of a
mystery. Anartha. Okay. Anartha means unwanted desire. And aparadha is one of the sources of generating unwanted desires.
So how does, like you said, seva aparadha, what kind of anarthas does it generate?
It does not generate.
Seva aparadha does not generate any anartha.
Yeah.
However, Namapra generates anartha. Unwanted desires it generates.
Correct. So we will. Okay, we have seen what are Dushkrutotta Anarthas, what are Sukrutotta Anarthas, and then what are Aparadotta Anarthas we have seen. And Aparadotta Anarthas refers only to Namaparad. So, and we discussed what is Namaparad, what is Sevaparad. So now, having established that only Namaparad is serious, so now he is going to discuss about the various Namaparads. Some of them, he is not going to discuss all of them. Some of them are going to be discussed. First, he will discuss about Vaishnavananda. Sadhu Ninda or criticism of Vaishnavas is the first of the 10 offenses against the holy name. The word Ninda means animosity or malice. If by chance this offense occurs, the person should repent. Oh, I am such a low class person. I have committed an offense to a saintly person. A person who has been burnt by fire seeks relief in fire. Krishanau shamyati taptaha krishanuna evayam. A person who has been burnt by the fire of offense seeks relief in fire of repentance. According to this logic, he should nullify the offense by lamenting. How do you resolve? Lament. Second, resolve to come before the Vaishnava. Third, falling at his feet. Fourth, satisfying him by offering him obeisances, praises and respects. Itna karna chahiye. If the Vaishnava is not satisfied, then what? The person should render favorable services to him according to his desires for many days. Sometimes the offense is so grievous that the Vaishnava's anger does not die even then. Then what he should do? In extreme remorse, thinking himself most unfortunate and bound for millions of years in hell for his offense, he should give up everything and taking full shelter of continuous Nama Sankirtan. By the divine power of Nama Kirtan, certainly in time, that person will be delivered from his offense.
And only after?
Sometime.
But this is only after once we has tried
the initial. Let's come out coming. However, he should not justify himself by arguing that Shastra says, Namaparada Yuktanam Namanyeva Aharantyagam. The holy name alone is sufficient to deliver an offender. Dekho, Namaparada ka solution hai, take shelter of holy name. Abhi, Vaishnav Ninda is first offense to the holy name only. Na? So, why to fall at his feet? Directly I will take shelter of this lust. So, what is the need for humbling himself by offering repeated respects and service to the Vaishnava that he has offended? What is the need for that? One may think.
It will have a huge impact. It will have a huge impact if he takes to the procedure prescribed. It will have a huge impact on his consciousness. And there will be less chances of it being repeated.
Actually, he says this type of mentality makes him guilty of further offense. Why should I fall at the feet? I might as well take shelter of the holy name. It's easy.
And next day, there's another request.
Nor should one be of the mentality to think that the offense of Sadhu Ninda discriminates between the Vaishnavas. One should not think, dekho, ab Sadhu Ninda bol rahe hain, ye Sadhu hai.
The very origin of this aparad has been because it, first thing, it is intentionally done. So then what automatically follows is justification.
Justification. And justification means what? The natural tendency is, if the more the faults that I find in this person,
the more I am justified
of, the more I am exonerated of my crime. But he says that this is exactly opposite. You are complicating this issue further. It does not refer only to one who is fully and perfectly qualified with all the qualities mentioned in the scriptures, such as mercifulness, never harming others, and so on. A person cannot minimize his offense by pointing out some defect in the devotee. देखो इसने क्या क्या किया, इसको निंदा करने से मुझे साधु निंदा आएगा क्या? In answer, the scriptures say, even a person who is a very bad character, a cheater, devoid of proper behavior, malicious, devoid of samskaras, and full of worldly desires, if he surrenders to the Lord, he must be considered a sadhu. What to speak of a pure Vaishnava? Sometimes a serious offense has been committed against a Vaishnava, but the Vaishnava does not become angry because of his exalted nature. Still, the offender should fall at the devotee's feet and seek ways of pleasing him to purify himself. Though the Vaishnava may forgive offenses, the dust of his feet does not tolerate the offenses and delivers the fruits of the offense on the guilty person.
The person has not been purified of his
offensive nature.
Well, this is something that is done intentionally.
Yeah.
So that in the tendency, or maybe that drive to commit this intentionally, has not gone away.
Yeah. It has not gone away. Even though he has been forgiven by the Vaishnava. For it is said, Nascharyamedadyadasatsu sarvada mahatvininda kunapatma vadishu sersham mahapurushapada pamsubir nirasta tejasuta deva shobanam. So he says, it is not surprising that the materialist claiming that the gross body is the soul constantly criticize the devotees with envy and become deprived of their powers by the dust from the feet of the great devotees. The glory of the criticism is the result it gives. Who speaks? Who speaks? Come on! See the canto, see the translation, and see the chapter. And if still you cannot say, then we will see. See the canto, see the chapter, see the translation, and then you tell. It is not surprising that the materialist claiming that the gross body is the soul, kunapatma vadishu, like you, constantly criticize the devotees with envy. Who criticized the devotees with envy in fourth canto, fourth chapter? Fourth canto mein first section kya hai?
Daksha episode.
So who criticized the devotee? So who is speaking this verse? Lord Shiva did not defend himself.
Of course.
Then who?
This is a Brahmaji.
Sati Baba, Sati. And become deprived of their powers by the dust of the feet of the great devotees. that glory of the criticism is the result it gives.
This is when she goes to some ceremony of his father. That's when she speaks, right?
After he criticizes Lord Shiva, that's when she speaks this. Conventional rules cannot be applied, however, to the powerful, spontaneous, most elevated Mahabhagavatas, who may sometimes bestow fathomless mercy even to the most undeserving or offensive. Like, for example, Jadabharat, King Rahuguna, what did he do to Jadabharat?
Yeah, he spoke
harsh words.
Yeah.
Insulted him. But what was the result? What did he get in return?
Knowledge.
What did Jagai and Madai do to Nityananda Prabhu?
Violently, but
almost tried to kill him.
Yeah.
What did they get in result?
Mercy.
Krishna Prem. Markai Prem De. Doyal to Nahi Hai. So, therefore, in my opinion, the greater the Vaishnava you offend and the more severely you offend, the greater is the result.
That's not the system.
But what does this, that's what this pastime is telling.
Yeah, this is simply from the volition of the Mahabhagavata that he acts in this way.
So, in a similar way, Chediraj, the Vasu who flew in the sky, showed mercy to the atheistic, heretic Daityas who had come to do him violence. In Mahabharata, there is a story of how Chediraj, on taking side of the demigods who were arguing with some Brahma Rishis, was cursed by them to fall from his flying chariot to Patal Loka, where he continued to perform his bhajan. In the same way, Sri Nityananda showed some mercy to Madai, even though the most sinful Madai had injured his forehead, causing blood to flow. So therefore, one should not say that, oh, see, this is a Vaishnava. The more you offend him, the more mercy he bestows.
This is not a slot machine, ATM machine. You'll put the numbers and back.
So therefore, one should not quote such pastimes. That is why it is, you need the commentary of the Vaishnavas to actually understand what the pastime says. You cannot screw out your own lessons. The offense of Guru or Avagya or disrespect to Guru, the third aparad, may be considered in the same way as the first aparad. Like that. Of course, these offenses are more elaborately discussed in Harinam Chintamani, but we will not get into that. That's a whole different discussion. Second, misunderstanding the position of Vishnu and the demigods. Now we will consider the second aparadha of misunderstanding the position of Vishnu, Shiva, and demigods. Conscious beings are of two types. You take a paper and pen, and while we are discussing, you make a chart. That is your classwork. Get yourself a paper and pen. So, he says, conscious beings are of two types, independent and dependent. Okay? An independent being is the all-pervading Lord Ishvara, and the dependent beings are the Jivas. Okay. So now, Ishvara Chaitanya is of two types. Okay. One is Vishnu Tattva. Another is Shambhu Tattva or Shiva Tattva. Okay, so Ishvara Tattva, Vishnu Tattva is one who is, not at all touched by Maya, and Shambhu Tattva, for pastime purposes, accepts the touch of Maya. Okay, द फर्स्ट टाइप ऑफ ईश्वर इज कॉल्ड बाय नेम सच एज नारायण हरि एक्सेट्रा हरि इन निर्गुण साक्षात पुरुष प्रकृति पर इट इज हरि हु इज डायरेक्टली द नॉन मेटीरियल लॉर्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू मेटीरियल नेचर एंड द सेकेंड टाइप ऑफ ईश्वर इज कॉल्ड बाय सच नेम्स एज शिवा शिवः शक्तियुतः शश्वत त्रिलिंगो गुण संवृतः Shiva voluntarily accepts the three gunas and appears to be covered by them. Though Shiva appears to be covered by the gunas, one should not think that he is in the category of Jiva. For Brahma Samhita says, Shiram yata dadivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti hetoh ya shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyat Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. Lord Shiva is a transformation of the Lord, just as yogurt is a transformation of milk. In the Puranas and other scriptures as well, Shiva is glorified as Ishvara. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Sattvam Rajas Tamaiti Prakritir Gunastair Yukta Parama Purusha Eka Ihasya Datte स्थित्यादये हरिविरिञ्चि हरेति संज्ञा श्रेयांसि तत्र कलु सत्त्वतनोर्नृणां स्युः द वन सुप्रीम पुरुष एक्सेप्टिंग द गुणास ऑफ प्रकृति नोन एज सत्व रजस एंड तमस फॉर क्रिएशन मेंटेनेंस एंड डिस्ट्रक्शन इज कॉल्ड विष्णु ब्रह्मा एंड शिव द बेस्ट रिजल्ट्स फॉर द डिवोटीज विल कम फ्रॉम विष्णु विद द शुद्ध सत्व बॉडी So the Lord does not even come in touch with the Sattvaguna. He comes in touch with Sattvaguna through the agency of Maya, not directly. So therefore, even for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction, Lord Vishnu does not come in touch with the three modes directly. Only through the agency of Maya. In this shloka, it is also generally understood that Brahma may also be considered an Ishvara. But Brahma's position as an Ishvara or Lord should be understood as power invested in a Jiva by the Supreme Lord. So he is Ishvaras, all are Ishvaras because we all have some control. But Brahmaji's control, he also is an Ishvara but he is not Ishvara Tattva. Like Jiva is also an Ishvara. But he is not Ishvara Tattva. Similarly, Brahma is also in Jiva only. But he has more controlling power. And this is described in Brahma Samhita. Bhaswan yatasma shakaleshu nijeshu teja Sviyam kiyat prakatayat yapitatva datra Brahmaya yesha jagadanda vidana karta Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So it is mentioned that Bhaswan. Bhaswan means the sun. Yata Ashma Sakaleshu. Ashma is stone. There are a particular type of stones called Suryakanta. So when the sunlight falls on Suryakanta stone, it almost shines like another sun. Bhaswan Yata. Yata Bhaswan, just as the sun. Ashma Sakaleshu. In those stones known as Suryakanta, Nijeshu Teja, one's own Teja, Sviyam Kiyat Prakatayati, he manifests his own effulgence on these Suryakanta stones. Brahmaya Yesha Jagadanda Vidana Karta. That is the way in which Brahmaji's power should be understood. It is the Suryakanta stone does not have any independent power. Ishvara means he has some independent power. But Brahmaji's power is borrowed. Just like the Suryakanta stone borrows the power. So he is not Ishvara Tattva. He is Jiva Tattva. Jiva Tattva is of two types. Ordinary Jivas and demigods. पार्थिवाद् धारुणो धूमस् तस्माद् अग्निस्त्रयीमयः तमसस्तु रजस्तस्मात् सत्वं यद् ब्रह्मदर्शनम् He says, पैशन इज बेटर देन इग्नोरेंस बट गुडनेस इज बेस्ट बिकॉज बाय इट वन कैन कम टू रियलाइज द ट्रूथ इन दैट वे ही इज इंडिकेटिंग द सुपीरियरिटी ऑफ विष्णु दो द मोड ऑफ पैशन इज सुपीरियर टू इग्नोरेंस स्टिल एज इन स्मोक वन कैनॉट परसीव फायर In smoke-like Rajogun, the fire-like effulgent Lord cannot be realized. In the fire-like mode of goodness, one can perceive the pure effulgence of the Lord almost like direct realization. As fire, though present within wood, cannot be perceived. So in the mode of ignorance, the Lord, though present, is not directly manifest.
Sundra?
So which means basically he is telling that just like even in deep dreamless sleep, the characteristic of tamogun, one experiences a happiness almost similar to the happiness of the realization of the Lord in his impersonal aspect. Considering the tattvas in this way, we can understand the conclusions. So now he is concluding. Abhi he is going to summarize.
Just put everyone in
Basically, you should not give more respect than what one deserves and less respect than what one deserves. The problem is with disrespecting. And one of the main reasons for disrespect is improper sambandha gyan also. Improperly understanding the position of the demigods with respect to Vishnu. So therefore he is establishing the hierarchical positions of all these personalities so that one can give appropriate respect. Sakale samman korite shakati deho nata jata jata. This is the mood of Vaishnavas. They don't give same respect to everyone, but they are convinced that everyone should be respected, but everyone should be respected according to their
position.
So that is what is indicated here.
So where is this? Are there any examples of someone, you know, committing this kind of offense in the scriptures?
Yeah, there must be many, but
because current situation one doesn't find, because currently as ISKCON devotees, they approach new people, they absolutely have no concept of demigods or things.
No, in the West, but in India you still have people who are demigod worshippers.
But they're still demigod worshippers, not demigod. So,
yeah, but they may
into the bhakti process.
Yeah, that's there. But one who is transitioning from there to here may still have vestiges of such kind of influence. The conscious beings who are dependent on the Lord, the jivas, are of two types. Okay? Those who are not covered by ignorance and those who are covered. Okay? Those who are covered are devatas, men and animals. So this is conscious beings are of two types.
Okay?
So devatas, men and animals are covered by ignorance. And there are others who are not covered by ignorance. Okay. The uncovered jivas are of two types.
Uncovered jivas.
Are of two types. Those under the influence of the Lord's Aishwarya Shakti. And those uninfluenced by that Shakti. Okay. Those not influenced by the Lord's Aishwarya Shakti आर ब्रॉडली टू टाइप्स. ओके, हु आर दे? दोस प्रैक्टिसिंग ज्ञान हु मर्ज इन टू द लॉर्ड, विच इज अ लैमेंटेबल कंडीशन.
सो हियर वी आर क्लासिफाइंग डिवोटीज एज दोज हु आर कवर्ड बाय द माया शक्ति एंड दोज हु आर नॉट कवर्ड बाय माया
शक्ति. नहीं नहीं, नॉट माया. या टेक अ न्यू पेज हियर, इधर शुरू करो. ओके, कॉन्शियस बीइंग्स हु आर डिपेंडेंट ऑन द लॉर्ड, दैट इज जीवास. सो जीवास आर ऑफ टू टाइप्स. ओके, दोस जीवास हु आर कवर्ड, हु आर नॉट कवर्ड बाय इग्नोरेंस, एंड दोस हु आर कवर्ड बाय इग्नोरेंस. Okay, the uncovered jivas are of two types, those under the influence of the Lord's Aishwarya Shakti and those who are not influenced by the Aishwarya Shakti. Okay, so those who are not influenced by the Aishwarya Shakti are broadly divided into two categories. Okay, those practicing jnana who merge into the Lord. Okay, this is a very lamentable situation. And those practicing bhakti who remain differentiated from the Lord and taste the nectarian bliss. Okay, this is not a lamentable situation. So those, second is those who are practicing bhakti. Okay, and they are they taste the nectarian bliss of bhakti. And this is a lamentable situation. And those practicing bhakti and who experience bliss, this is not a lamentable situation. Okay, itna tak ho gaya aapka. Now those who are actually influenced by the Aishwarya Shakti, they are also of two types. The first category are those who are absorbed in jnana but belonging to the spiritual sphere, that is the four kumaras. And second are those absorbed in the functions of creation of the material sphere.
Absorbed
in the functions of creation of the material sphere. Okay. So the first category mein examples are kumaras. सेकेंड कैटेगरी में ब्रह्मा जी. दस वन मे कंसिडर दैट विष्णु एंड शिव आर नॉन डिफरेंट बीइंग द सेम ईश्वर चैतन्य. वन मे से विष्णु एंड शिव आर बोथ ईश्वर आस ना, सो दे आर नॉन डिफरेंट. A devotee who is without material motivation must discern who is worthy of worship or not on the basis of nirguna and saguna, that is with no material qualities Vishnu and with a touch of material qualities Shiva, Brahma, etc. So Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu can be categorized under the same category
of
Ishwara. But if you differentiate them, but if you create another differentiation on the basis of who is affected by the modes, who is touched by the modes and who is not touched by the modes, then Shiva and Vishnu are in a different category. Lord Shiva has to be categorized with
Saguna.
Vishnu is Nirguna, Lord Shiva is Saguna, Brahma is Saguna, like that. Being different types of Chaitanya, Brahma and Vishnu are completely distinct. Brahma is Jiva and Vishnu is Ishwar. Sometimes Brahma and Vishnu are described as identical in the Puranas. One should, however, understand this statement by the example of Sun Vishnu and the jewel Suryakanta, which is invested with the light of the sun. They are not same in one sense, but they are same in another sense. Suryakanta is like a magnifying glass which takes the rays of the sun and manifests the heat of the sun by burning paper, etc. In this way only, Brahma is considered non-different. But not, he is absolutely not, in an absolute sense, he is not same. In some Mahakalpas, even Shiva is a Jiva, like Brahma invested with power by the Lord. In some cases, in some Mahakalpas, Lord Shiva also is just like Brahma invested with power by the Lord. Kvachit Jiva Visheshattvam Harasyoktam Videriva. As in Brahma's case, sometimes a particular Jiva takes the role of Shiva. Thus, Shiva is sometimes classed with Brahma in such statements as Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivataihi Samatvenaiva Vikshetha Sa Pashandi Bhavet Dhruvam. A person who considers Narayan as equivalent to Brahma, Shiva and other Devatas is a low rascal. Therefore, in this case, sometimes Lord Shiva is categorized with Brahma, because in some Mahakalpas, Lord Shiva is also a Jiva. Those who have not thoroughly researched in the matter say that Vishnu is the Lord, not Shiva, or that Shiva is the Lord, not Vishnu. That since I am a devotee of Vishnu, I will not give regard to Shiva or vice versa. Such people deliberately involving themselves in such arguments also commit nama apradha. Because you have to give respect that is due.
So, sometimes they will disregard Shiva also. So, does disregarding Shiva become a...
aparad, yeah.
Of course, considering that Shiva is
a Vaishnava. Yeah, that is also... And also, from that point of view. But basically, if you see, the basic Vaishnava aparad basically stems from lack of respectful attitude. See, if one has a nature of being disrespectful, then such a person cannot avoid Vaishnava aparad.
What is this nature of being disrespectful? People may have this kind of a thing in them.
Yeah, like for example, like in treating any person, not giving him the kind of respect that he may deserve. You know, not sometimes people are used to dealing with people in inhuman ways, treating them like animals. You can throw a biscuit to a dog and it's not considered disrespectful. But if you throw a biscuit to a human being, it's disrespectful.
Yes. And people do it.
So, if one has, just like, if someone wants to avoid malaria, staying in a place that is endemic to malaria, So then he must have an immune system that is good enough to resist malaria. Otherwise, let's say, so ideally, how do you develop such an immune system that is fit enough to protect yourself from malaria? You should not be constipated. You should get good night's sleep. And you should be hydrated. Use a mosquito net. And take Mahasudarshan tablets regularly. If you do all these things, then you have an immune system that is
less likely to
succumb to malaria infection. But what if that person always stays constipated, does not exercise, does not stay hydrated, lives very, does not use a mosquito net, and he wants to avoid malaria? So, it's not possible. He does not take the medicine also. So, it's not possible. So, therefore, how do you develop an immune system that is resistant to offending Vaishnavas? Is that if you have an in general respectful attitude towards everyone, then you have a better chance of respecting Vaishnavas also. That is like a immune system, developing that immune system. That is why wherever Vaishnava parad is indicated in Bhagavatam, be it Kapila's teachings to Devahuti or Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons, Krishna's teachings to Uddhava and so on, the hierarchy of all living entities is given based on consciousness development. So that you understand this and give appropriate respect to everyone. So if you learn to give appropriate respect to all living entities, you have a very good chance of avoiding Vaishnava parada also. Like Radha Gopinath Prabhu shares this example. He just got Brahmin initiated, and he, for the first time, he entered the altar, and His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was there at that time. He was Devamrit Prabhu. So he was inside the altar. Radha Gopinath Prabhu entered and very looked around. He couldn't find switches, and he saw that there were switches were down. They were foot switches. He very nonchalantly kicked the switch to switch it on, and Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was watching, and he said, "You can't do this. You have to switch it on with your hands." And Radha Gopinath Prabhu said, "What do you mean switch it on with your hands? These are foot switches. They are meant to be switched on using your feet." And he said, "No, this is not a regular room. This is the altar of Radha Gopinath. You have to be more respectful." So, the point is, if how solid is our immune system to avoid Vaishnava Aparad, we can assess by observing how we deal with other people, other things, other paraphernalia like that. Like for example, when you are getting the things ready for devotees to Anand Prasadam, you take a roll of, what is that?
Yeah.
Chatai roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put it down and kick it with your feet.
So open it. Rolls open.
Right, rolls open. You may think that it is something very simple.
Yeah.
Easy.
Ease and convenience.
Ease and convenience. But this simple thing may indicate लैक ऑफ इम्यूनिटी, और इन बाथरूम में मैं जस्ट किक द बकेट और मूव थिंग्स विद आवर फीट एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट. व्हेन अ पेन फॉल्स डाउन वी डोंट वांट टू बेंड डाउन, वी माइट पिक इट अप विद आवर फीट एंड यूज दैट सेम पेन टू टेक नोट्स. दीस मे बी सिंपल थिंग्स विच मे नॉट कॉज एनी अलार्म टू एनी वन, but actually these are like very serious indicators that our in general immunity to avoid Vaishnava Prad is very low, because we are not able to respect common things. So that is, we are very likely to disrespect Vaishnava also. We are very likely that we may not give the appropriate respect to Vaishnava also. So therefore we can't, avoiding Vaishnava Aparadha cannot be a standalone project.
Yeah.
It is the result of
a culture
of respect. Of respect, actually.
Which actually one imbibes from the very childhood. Or he has to consciously cultivate it.
He has to consciously cultivate it. Whenever he comes to know, you can't just sit and lament that, oh, I didn't have such a thing in my childhood. You can't just sit and lament.
Probably, yeah. I come from a culture where these things were not taught. That means the importance of, you know, acting in certain way or a body language was not explained or not even practiced.
Mm.
And the body language says a lot about respect.
Correct. So these are things which we need to be very conscious of, careful. Those who have not thoroughly researched in the matter say that Vishnu is the Lord, not Shiva, or that Shiva is the Lord, not Vishnu. That since I am a devotee of Vishnu, I will not give regard to Shiva or vice versa. Such people deliberately involving themselves in such arguments also commit Namaparadha. If such offenders can become enlightened by a devotee with thorough knowledge of the matter, then they can realize in what way Shiva and Vishnu are non-different. With this realization and by performing Namakirtan, the person can nullify his offense. Next comes Shruti Shastra Nindanam, disrespecting the scriptures, which is the fourth offense. Shruti Shastra Ninda is the fourth offense of disrespect for the Shruti scriptures, considering that they do not mention anything about bhakti and are thus glorified by worldly minded people. So, the point is that
Shruti Shastra Ninda, that means what is called as the Vedas, whom anyways we don't have any insight into much.
Mm.
What is in there?
See, how we can disrespect the scriptures is that we may say that, yeah, I never disrespect the scriptures.
Mm.
Why would I do it? I'm a Vaishnava. Why would I disrespect the scriptures? Okay. So what are the scriptures? Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, Nectar of Instruction, and so on. What about Karmakandiya scriptures? Karmakandiya. Who reads them anyway? What is the use of such scriptures? And who knows what's there in it? Jnanakandiya, Sakala Vishayara Bhanda, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Sakala Vishayara Bhanda, Amrita Bulya Vishakaya. So, one thing is to think that all scriptures are meant for me to follow. Karmakanda is for me. Krishna only created me. ज्ञान कांड इट्स फॉर मी, कृष्णा ओनली क्रिएटेड. भक्ति ओ या इट्स फॉर मी, कृष्णा ओनली क्रिएटेड. अरे पॉइजन ऑल्सो कृष्णा ओनली क्रिएटेड, वाई इज इट नॉट फॉर यू, ड्रिंक दैट ऑल्सो. सो दिस इज वन एक्सट्रीम. अनदर एक्सट्रीम इज एक्सेप्ट फॉर भक्ति none of the other scriptures have no relevance for anyone. Only bhakti literatures are relevant. Other scriptures should be thrown in the garbage. We may not go to that extreme, but we may internally think, karma kanda pad raha hai yaar, isse usko kya hone wala hai. So, but we have to understand that these scriptures are there according to adhikar. One who has no bhakti adhikar but karma adhikar, he can be gradually elevated by taking shelter of the dharma shastras. One who does not have bhakti adhikar but he may have, if one has jnana adhikar, he can be gradually elevated by the jnana shastras. So therefore, to think that they don't have any utility at all for anyone is an offense. But at the same time, to think that all scriptures I am supposed to follow is stupidity. Stupidity, not feasible, nahi, stupidity. So, if one commits this offense, one obtains relief when one has the fortune to understand the subject properly from a knowledgeable devotee. The Shruti is very mercifully help the most unqualified people not following any Vedic rules or regulations and blinded by material desires to come to the path of bhakti. So such people can come to the path of bhakti gradually.
And certainly you as a preacher who is making this argument cannot reach all these people to give them bhakti. And there is no guarantee that these people will accept bhakti and have the adhikar of reading bhakti.
Yeah, they may not immediately get. Yeah. Commission of the fourth offense.
They should also be favorably disposed towards you to actually be...
Correct. So if you are acting like this, which is first thing, whether it may make them favorable or not is secondary. But you are acting like this is also not properly according to the Shastric injunction. It's not proper understanding. Commission of the fourth offense is nullified by using the same mouth that criticizes the Shastras. One should praise the same scriptures as well as the practitioners of those scriptures and perform loud chanting of the holy name. In the same way, one should understand the commission and nullification of the other six offenses. So like that, he discusses about the some of the offenses and he explains how do you nullify these offenses. So we will pause here and tomorrow we will continue this discussion. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur ki, Shri Madhurya Kadambini ki.